We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
First half of the 2021-22 season, like it's last year. I don't know what that year was. That was the good lord. That's all.
Yeah, right. it did feel like last year. Steve looks out of it. Team looks out of it. Steph is asleep. He wasn't asleep last year. So, you know, all in all, worst game of the season.
Easily.
Worst game of the season.
I feel like Draymond won Defensive Player of the Year tonight because, if you don't understand exactly how special Draymond Green is, look at what the Bucks did to the Warriors without Draymond. I'll give them this. They're a well-coached, engaged defensive team that they can play good defense without Draymond against average teams. But when you're playing a team like the Bucks, good lord. Now, I don't think Draymond's making up a 40-point deficit tonight, but like they don't get down. What was it? 75-38 at halftime?
77-30. Yeah, ridiculous. Just a ridiculous
that
score.
Doesn't happen if Draymond Green plays.
No.
Period.
No. No, I mean, just the way they came out with no energy. And what we've seen with Draymond this season, particularly this season, he's come out with – I mean, you could argue that Draymond's hurt right now because he's played so hard. Really, that's probably one of the reasons. And he's played that hard because he comes out and the team doesn't look as lackadaisical as they did today. Frankly, Sam, this game was embarrassing. Like – the most embarrassing game of the season. You can't come out here on national. Now the Warriors play national television games all the time, but you're playing a championship contender that's lost four of their last five, as Fitz keeps telling us, and you shit the bed. You completely shit the bed. And look, we all love Steph here. And I get, you know, the Draymond point, but for me, it's more about Steph. It's like, look, man, you just, Draymond's not going to be able to shut this team down. They're not going to score 77 points. But you can't come out here and look like that as the leader of the team and expect everyone else to play hard. Who was the guy that played, like, Andrew Wiggins played well today? That was like Kuminga played well. Like, I would say, like, those guys played hard. That was about it. Like, I don't know what was going on out there.
Our guy, Evil Steph, had some great minutes at the end of the fourth. Draymond being out has nothing to do with the offense being
awful.
But, like, this is a defense first team. And I don't know, man, Giannis is probably the best player in the league. He's definitely the best big man in the league.
He is the best player in the league.
He gets his, he's not getting it that easy if Draymond plays. But there's just a lot to take from, I don't even know where to go with it. My whole thing is you're right. It's an embarrassing effort tonight. And I kind of just want to throw it in the trash right now, to be honest with you, because there's just not a lot I can learn from them playing without Draymond Green. The reality is, if Draymond's hurt in the playoffs, they're going nowhere. They're losing the first round.
Yeah.
It just is what it is. You know, they're not going to, and that goes for the entire.
I was going to say, that's every team. Yeah.
You know, it's just reality. You know, like the Bucks, how far can they get if Giannis misses game? They can probably get by a couple of games, but
they lose Chris Middleton. What happens? Right. Like they lose
James Harden. They lose in the second round to the Heat, probably, you know?
Exactly. I'm 100% with you. Same thing goes with Memphis. I mean, we talked about this last game a little bit, but Draymond plays that game, they win. Like it's very simple with how good Draymond has been. So I'm with you.
So let's take a broader view. They're officially at the halfway mark. Literally the worst possible game to get there because we all have a bad taste in our mouth right now. But if I told you before the season started, the Warriors would be 30-11 at the halfway mark, what would you say?
A plus. Absolute yeah. A plus. And really, Frank, I still think it's an A first half. I mean, we're not just talking about the last 3 days. And I think one of the and just for all the things that we know, we've seen it as an A-plus effort. Steph still looks great despite the fact that he's mired in a disgusting stuff. Klay's back looks healthy. Draymond, when he's on the floor, looks amazing.
You've got 60 minutes from Klay in the first half of the season. Like, that's an important thing to note. They're 30-11, and Klay has played 20 minutes in three games, you know?
And he looks healthy. And he looks like that really is the key part of the first half right now, outside of the first 20 games where they looked amazing, is that Klay now looks healthy coming back, and he's... If that's the case and you get him 40 plus more, he's not going to play 40, like 30 more games. Like that's what he's need going to be able. That's what he needs to get into rhythm to play in the postseason, 30 plus minutes, right? That figures into the equation of how successful this first half has been.
I do think he's got a lot of work to do to get his rhythm back, but like bigger picture, you're right. The more important thing is how he looks physically. Like his rhythm wouldn't matter if he came back moving like you or me, really. You know what I mean? Like what matters is he comes back and he's moving like Klay Thompson. He's playing with no fear. I'm not concerned that he goes like 2 for 7 from three. You and I both know like he just needs he needs probably 10 games to get his couple timing. Weeks. Yeah, yep. Get your timing down. That's right. He's missed 2.5 months. The big tell with him is like, how he moves physically. And I saw him against like Middleton, who's one of the best wings in the league. He could hang with him physically. Yeah. To me, that's all that really matters in terms of what we want to see with Klay. And so now it's about using the next 41 games and who knows how many of them he'll play. I think 30 is probably realistic. Yeah. Like you said, like he's not playing against the Bulls. They're probably going to be cautious with him just because like they want to get him to the playoffs healthy. Use those to really get his rhythm and everything under him. And that's a positive. I think that is a positive. In general, I think a lot of Warrior fans are having a hard time gauging what a good team really looks like. Like the Warriors pre-KD averaged 70 wins a season. They won 67, then they won 73. Then with KD, they were just so good, it didn't matter how many games they won. Now, would you say that they're a 55-61 team?
By the way, you're stealing my point. I was literally going to talk about this, but now you brought it up, even though I didn't put it in the rundown. So we're aligned in how we're thinking about it. I think, yeah, they're a 55-61 team. And I think one of the problems with, actually, Sam, it is not a problem. It's a first world problem with watching a team that's been this good for the past 6 years is that we're used to them winning games like tonight and making it a statement game. What's more normal is if you're a LeBron stan, which is a large majority of people on Twitter, is that LeBron takes weeks off and his teams will look bad for a month. I mean, and that's normal. That's what most normal basketball teams are in the NBA, even if they're
the
in
real NBA?
Contention. I set myself up for that. But that it really is, right? Like, Steve came out in the press conference. He acted like nothing is bothering him today. I don't know whether that's true or not. But I just sometimes you just go through these slumps as a team. And I don't take too much of it because neither you nor I. And I think it's unfair for people to think of this team as a 65 win team. They're not. And neither is anybody in the NBA, by the way. Nobody's winning 65 plus. So it's just how it's going to be.
I mean, there's a reason 67 wins was a top 10 win total of all time. You just don't. Sometimes it's easy to lose perspective. Like the best teams in the NBA win 3 out of every 4. That's a 60 win season. If you're winning 57, 58 games, you're a legit contender. And by winning that many games, you lose 25, which means at some point in the season, you're going to go through a couple week period where it's just like,
yes,
dude, nothing. They look like they don't know how to play basketball. I mean, like literally the last couple of weeks I've been like, does Steph know how to play basketball? You know, like some of it's just kind of, it's just this team has had so many highs. It's easier to lose fact that, like, you know, as Steve said, that's not the real NBA.
It's kind of it's also kind of normal to do. And the other thing too, and Steph's 33, he's going to be 34. It's just, he's not going to be great every single time, 75 games a season. And you said this, and we talked about in the last pod, he still looks great physically. sometimes I think now as he gets older, maybe he's just going on slumps that are going to be longer. It's going to happen. And I think that, you know, on one end, wishful thinking is you hope it happens now versus 3 months from now, right? When it's the postseason. But I think all of it is normal. You can't expect this team to play this well throughout the entire season, especially when you've got guys like Draymond out. And Klay Thompson in name is amazing, but he's still working his way back into what he used to be, right? So I didn't expect him to win tonight. Didn't expect him to lose by 40. But these are just kind of the growing pains that you're going to have for a team that's getting older. They're just getting older. But they're still great when they're healthy.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Philip has just lost the respect of the youth league football team he coaches. He was asked what New England should do in the draft, and his answer was objectively terrible. The Athletic just wrote a great article about this, but Philip doesn't have the Athletic or the respect of a boisterous group of 11-year-olds who once looked up to him. Learn from Philip's error, get the Athletic, and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're halfway through the season. Is there anything you'd want to add to this team? Let's two separate questions. Do you think they'll make a trade is one question.
Mm-hmm. No.
Now,
No. The answer is
now,
no.
Now, is there something you want them to add to the team? Forget like what Joe Lacob wants, Bob Myers, what you think will happen. Just like Andy Lou, pie in the sky.
Yeah. I would like them to realistically add a big man. Kevon Looney is awesome. I think we're going to get to James Wiseman. I don't think he's going to make an impact this season. I want him to get, and this is not for closing games. I just want him to have a veteran big guy. And then another veteran wing would be nice. Just two veteran guys, that aren't going to close games, but they just need those guys to play in minutes of if Looney's ineffective or if JTA can't play, Kuminga can't play, Damian Lee can't play. They need an extra wing guy. Moses Moody's not ready to go, right? They need one more wing guy. I mean, Nick Batum gets brought up here or there. The Clippers are falling apart. Looks like PG might be out for the season. Like, that's a guy right there that I would love for them to swing. So those are the two big ones for me. I don't see a big trade on the horizon. I don't really think they need to do it. But, hey, I know that's where you're going to come in with some names. So it's your turn.
I don't know if they need to do a big trade, but I do agree with you. I'm going to make it less a big. They need a front court player. Batum's a front court player.
He counts as one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, he's not a traditional big, but he does a lot of Draymond stuff. The Clippers use him primarily at 4 and 5. They do probably need to add another front court player. So let's get to it. We are bearing the lead. Mm. The big news item from friend of the show, Light Years insider, Tony Slater. Anthony Slater for The Athletic reported James Wiseman had a second surgery in December, a arthroscopic surgery to clean up.
Oh Lord,
the meniscus repair. Now he doesn't have a ton of details, and quite frankly, even if he did, neither you or I are qualified to, tell you what that means medically. And even if we did have medical degrees, we're not the ones who are looking at his knee every day, so we'd still just be speculating.
There you go.
But cleanup in December, I mean, Slater kind of throughout there. I wouldn't expect to see him before the All-Star break. The minute I hear cleanup in December and he's still not cleared for contact, like, I don't think he's back before the All-Star break either.
No chance.
NBA All-Star break is, let's just pull it up to make sure I got the right date.
Less than February, a month.
February 20th. It's about a month.
I lie. 1 month. Yeah.
Okay. I don't think he's playing before that. I think I'm with you now. His season's officially cooked. Let's say best case scenario happens and he's ready to play in an NBA game, the first game post All-Star game. He's going to get what, 25 games? Mm. 25 games for a player who is that raw and who needed a lot of reps. There's no way he's going to work his way into a legitimate postseason rotation.
And again, this is not about James Wiseman. Now, this is about timeline and the physical capabilities of becoming the best player that you could be within that timeline is not possible. It's not. Even if Klay Thompson came back in March, which now we think Wiseman's coming back, Klay wouldn't be ready to play in the postseason, not to the best of his capabilities, right? That's why he's back now, because they need him to play that many games to be back. So what makes you think, even in the most optimistic view, that Wiseman's going to be ready? He should just be in the G League the rest of the season. And
I don't think he's going to be in the G League, but like,
I mean, he honestly has to play basketball, man.
He's going to be able to help them against bad teams and get run like that. But it's like, to your point of needing to add a big, they officially need to add a front court player, as far as I'm concerned, because even if you get your best case scenario, Wiseman's back by the All-Star break and he's able to give you 15 minutes a game off the bench. Is he going to be able to give you 15 minutes a game off the bench against a team like the Bucks? Against a team like, let's take it down a level, because we both think the Bucks are probably the best team in the league.
Yeah.
Right. A team like the Suns or the Grizzlies. He's not ready to play that level of basketball. He can give you 10 to 15 minutes against the Sacramento Kings or the Pelicans. And there's value in that to eat minutes, I guess. But like, in terms of being a big body they can use in the playoffs, like, that's cooked. There's just, yeah, considering how raw he was last year, considering how much work he had to do, there's no chance he gets to playoff caliber level play this season. And that's a real shame. Like, remember in the beginning of the season, they're like, he'd be ready for camp. And we were thinking he was going to play in middle of November. And he was going to play 60 games. And in my mind, I was like, all right, if they do a good job developing him at the end of those 60 games, he can give him something in the playoffs. Like, I didn't think he'd be closing games in the playoffs. I thought he could just give him something. At this stage, the most optimistic Wiseman person can't look you in the face and say with a straight face, like, oh yeah, I'm totally comfortable throwing him out there against the Grizzlies in round two when he's played 12 games in the regular season or something.
Well, I guess the question is, why didn't we know about this earlier and whether one would care about it, right? It's why are we finding out about this in mid-January when they told us that he was, they basically led, you know, us or whomever along and just to say, hey, he's doing contact. Now he's not doing contact. Oh, it's not a setback, actually. They've said, like, hey, it's not a setback. Everything's going well as planned. All of a sudden, January 13th, yeah, microscopic knee surgery? Like, what? That's a setback. That's a setback.
And to me, why were they hiding it? Slater had to, like, dig to get this info. That's the part that I keep going back to that's kind of bugging.
It's a little odd.
This is the team that cannot stop talking about Smile Geach. You know, like, look, we know the Warriors pretty well. Slater knows the Warriors probably better than anyone.
Yeah.
It's this team doesn't act like Fort Knox with, like, the nuclear codes. Like, they love to talk to the media.
They're not OKC.
No, they're not. Not at all. And the fact that they were hiding this stuff, I don't like it. It just, I mean, what? Because they don't want to open up speculation about LaMelo again? I mean, that's one theory. Because they're worried it's going to, like, hurt James Wiseman's confidence? I don't know. I just don't know the angle here that makes sense to hide this.
Yeah. I mean, here's what we do. I mean, they are concerned about James Wiseman's kind of confidence and personality, and they want to, I don't want to say baby him, but there's a reason why Andre Iguodala goes out of his way to say that James Wiseman is going to come back and be a starter, right? When we know that that's not true. And Steph Curry goes out in the GQ article and says James Wiseman is going to be an MVP level player. I thought that was a nice note. By Steph.
That was the writer taking editorial liberties. That was not a Steph Curry quote.
Oh, it wasn't. It was. I thought it was.
Nah, that wasn't a quote.
So
it wasn't in quotes. That's all I know.
Steph loves Wiseman, so there's that. We know that. But it's odd. I think for me, I feel really bad that, you know, Wiseman. The thing with Wiseman is he's been on the bench all season. It's not like he's been out of the public eye, Sam. Like, we've seen him on the bench all season, laughing and kind of enjoying what's going on. So it's just it's a little weird. The sad part is, you're right though. End of the day, he's not going to be able to make an impact. And it's going to be winning time the last 20 games of the season. They've got to make sure that Clay's ready to go. They've got to make sure that Draymond's healthy. It's not development time. It's not development time anymore with 20 games left, man. Like, that's the part that's going to be tough.
And so it's a wasted year. It's looking more like, I don't want to say it's a wasted pick.
It's wasted, but he was hurt. So it's kind of tough to say it was a wasted year. Wasted pick, I guess you could argue that, though.
No, it's a wasted year. Well,
because he was hurt, so you kind of can't.
A better way to put it. It's a lost year.
Yeah.
Lost year is the appropriate way to put it. And now you're talking about a guy who's 2 years away from a contract extension. So it's such a mess of a situation. And for an organization that's light years ahead, they don't want a mess about this. Like, it's gone about as poorly as one could expect. And I don't need Fitz out here lying to everyone about how big a difference Wiseman's going to make. That's basically where I'm at. I'm tired of, I hate this word because whoever figured out using this word on the internet, now everyone uses it in every context. I feel like I'm being gaslit by Fitz and the Warriors at all times. And it's just annoying.
Your general frustration is the propaganda that the front office is essentially feeding. I'm with you.
You just don't get annoyed by it the way I do.
I don't get as annoyed because I feel bad for Wiseman. I think for me, it's I feel bad for him because it's like I was reading some articles today saying that, you know, Jimmy G might be back for year two, and I'm sitting here like, are you fucking serious? You can't be serious. Like, Trey Lance is going to sit again with how raw Trey Lance looks. He's going to sit another year. Like, that's where Wiseman is right now after watching him last year. Like, James Wiseman is going to sit another year after looking that raw last year. That's tough. Like, if he played 60 games, right? If he was playing right now, even tonight, they lose by 40. And Wiseman plays 30
getting
minutes.
A run. Yeah.
At least he's playing, and he's not right now. And he's literally doing mic and drills all day with Mihailovic. And that, you know, it's not going to help you get better, brother. It's just not. It's not in the NBA, man. It sucks. It sucks for him.
It does suck for him. I really hate throwing this disclosure out there. It's like, it's never about him. It's in context of the team. But this is also, just to be clear, this is another reason I was like, make a trade. Because you can't be doing this like young player all in thing, half in thing at the same time, you know? So
it does feel like last year now that you're saying that, by the way. We're going full circle into last year.
I just don't know where they go with this because there's, even if Wiseman was back in January, I'm not sure there was enough time for him to get the run he needs to be a postseason player. You know what I'm saying? Like, I thought it was possible if he was back in November. And he worked his way up to it. At this point, it's like kind of the team they have is probably the team they're going to be choosing to be in their playoff rotation. And it starts begging the question, like you said, should they make a trade? If Nicholas Batum is on the market, should they make that move? Even though Batum's not a center, but he is a player the Warriors would play at the four or the five. How would you feel about a little Batum Otto Porter?
That would be fantastic. I mean, are you kidding me? I would cut three guys on the team that I can think of right now to have that happen. You know, whether they make a trade for that or it's somehow a buyout or something like that. I don't know. But like, yeah, I mean, JTA, Damian Lee, Bielitsa, any of those guys can go for Nick Batum. It's very simple. It would be incredible. And by the way, Batum's not even playing that well this year. He's been injured and COVID and all that. But he is a market improvement in terms of a veteran guy than any other guy that the Warriors have right now. And I think like, Here. I want to be a little optimistic. The team is 30-11.
Oh, I'm not in a bad.
I think for me, they couldn't have traded the kid anyway. The kid has no trade value. So I think like their thing is like, okay, so they used the draft pick. They ended up drafting him. It's not LaMelo Ball. That sucks. But they're not really going to get anything for him regardless. So they kind of just got to wait and see. It's almost like a sunk cost at this point. Never mind. I was trying to be optimistic. Didn't work. I just realized as I was midway through saying it, it's tough, man. It's tough, but maybe he can get 10, 12 minutes a game by the end of the season. Maybe.
But can he? No, I think he can totally get that. Can he get it in the playoffs, though?
Yeah. Yeah. But you're right, though. Even he might not have even done that, even if he was playing, but in January, though. You know what I mean? Like, that's it. Kaminga's not going to be able to play 10, 12 minutes in the postseason, right? Like,
no, they're not going to be ready to play against good teams in the postseason. I mean, I guess it's possible, but history tells us it's unlikely, as Draymond says.
But I guess my question is then, without those guys, isn't the problem really the veteran guys instead of those guys, though? Isn't the problem that JTA isn't good enough, that Damian Lee isn't good, Bielitsa isn't good enough, frankly, right now?
Sure.
Isn't that more so the problem? Because if they're going to upgrade on those guys, they just upgrade by getting Batum. He'd be getting those minutes, not the rookie guy minutes. The rookie guy minutes is a problem right now, but at least the guys that can play, those three guys are not good enough. Right?
No, I agree with you. My point is the avenues to upgrade usually involve using a young player. So, I don't know. It's the whole situation's unfortunate and it's not positive. We'll see how it plays out. Maybe he's back sooner than we think. It just doesn't sound great when you have your knee scoped in mid-November. I mean,
what's the official report right now? He's going through 3-on-3s. That's the extent of what he's doing, full contact drills. Is that the official
report? He's not doing full contact.
Never mind. There you go. See, Tony Slater.
He's still not been cleared for full contact.
Yeah.
And he, you know, it's because of the arthroscopic knee. And I just don't know how long it'll take, honestly. Like, I mean, people aren't coming here for you and me to speculate on medical stuff.
Yeah.
But the reality is it set everything back. And now they have to realistically look at moves they can make in the roster. Because if your hope was he could be that backup big who played a role for this team, I just don't know if that's a realistic possibility before the end of the season. You know, it's like maybe your Trey Lance thing is correct. It's like maybe Trey could have been the quarterback come playoff time, but when you get to like week 14, 15, and he's started a grand total of one game, like it's not happening. It's
like last week, if Trey played, they would have lost. I mean,
but
I think you make a good point. There is one point of criticism that you can make about the front office, because they've had a very, very, very good season so far, is that if their goal was to rely on James Wiseman to be a 15-minute playoff performer because they thought he was going to start the season, then they missed, right? Everything else, they've been great so far, right? GP2, Otto Porter, like all that has been awesome. Kuminga looks like a good draft pick. But if they said, hey, we're not going to have a center because we believe that James Wise is going to be back by November and he's going to be, you know, our version of DeAndre Ayton by June.
Makes total sense if he was back by then to construct the roster the way they did.
Sure.
But he wasn't. Well,
then maybe it's not their fault. Maybe it's just injury then. In that case, is what can you do? The guy just got hurt. There's nothing you can do. Maybe in that case.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's tough all around. But here's the thing. They should still be able to win a championship without him. Like, they don't need James Wiseman to win a championship. It'd be nice if he was healthy, but they don't need him to win a title.
Yeah, but they might need to add another player at this point.
I agree. They need to add vets at this point.
They probably needed one of Wiseman or Kuminga to, like, jump into the rotation come playoff time. And maybe Kuminga does it, but, like, a lot on a teenage rookie. Not ready to go there. So we're just going to wait and see where these two guys, where it goes and what they do. But now they're in good position. They're the number two seed through the first half of the season. But there's still work to be done.
Yeah.
You saw what the Bucks could do without Jrue Holiday.
Oh, I forgot you wasn't playing tonight.
Mm-hmm. There's work to be done for this team. All right, we're going to end it here. We'll be back after the Wolves game. Appreciate everyone. Subscribe. Rate 5.